spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me.
Amen.
Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You've been good, Lord. You have been so, so kind. Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. Sing over me, Lord, yeah. You've been so good, so good to me, yeah. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, freed to 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, till you give yourself away. When I was your foe, still your love fought for me.
Yeah.
You have been so, so good to me, Lord. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You've been so good, yeah, yeah. You have been so, so kind. Sing that again. Thank you, Lord. When I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You've been so good. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth at all, yeah, yeah. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found. Reason 99, I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Till you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Yeah.
Thank you for your love. Thank you for your love. There's no shadow.
There's no shadow you won't light up. Mountain you won't climb up. Coming after me.
Thank you, Lord.
There's no wall you won't kick down. Lie you won't tear down. Coming
Hallelujah.
After me.
Thank
Somebody
you, Lord.
Needs to hear that.
There's no shadow you won't light up. Mountain you won't climb up. Coming after me.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
There's no shadow
you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming
Sing it
after
again.
Me.
There's no shadow
you won't light up. Mountain you won't climb up, coming after me.
Thank you, Father, yes.
There's no
No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down.
One more time.
There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me.
Thank you, Lord.
There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found. He's the 99. I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
Yes.
Thank you for your love. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your love, Lord.
Church, in the middle of your mess that you may be in this morning, God's fighting for you. Somebody needs to know that. God's fighting for you.
Yes. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. Oh no, there's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
No, no. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me.
You give the Lord praise for his reckless love. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, give him praise this morning. Thank you, Jesus. There's no wall that he won't kick down. Coming after you today. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to be in the presence of the Lord, to worship him in spirit and in truth? Hallelujah. No place I'd rather be than in God's presence. Why don't you turn and welcome to somebody to God's house this morning? Have a time of fellowship. Praise God for the spirit of worship in the house today. Thank you, Jesus. Ushers, if you will please join me down front. Let's prepare our hearts to give. Worship the Lord in giving. Anybody excited about giving to the Lord today? All right, praise the Lord. God is good. We have an opportunity this morning to bless all those hurricane victims. I'm sure you've been seeing the reports on TV, internet. And our general overseer, Dr. Tim Hill, has asked every church of God today to receive an offering for hurricane disaster relief. I've seen some of the footage in Bahamas especially, and it's devastating. We can sit here and say, well, that doesn't affect me. Well, it should. It should affect all of us. It should concern all of us. It could have been you. It could have been your family that was, everything that you had was totally wiped out. I was watching one video the other day. The lady was just obviously just devastated. A helicopter came and got all of her kids and took them away. And she said, everything we have is gone. Everything that we have is gone. Just imagine what that would be like for you. So just not only your financial support, but your prayers. Because this lasts for weeks and weeks and months trying to rebuild their lives. So we have an opportunity today to do our part and bless those victims who suffered great loss. So would you join me this morning? I've got my offering prepared. I'm asking you to prepare something. Everybody, let's give something today. Obviously, your tithe, we're not talking about your tithe here. The tithe is the Lord's. We're talking about above and beyond the tithe. As always, if you'll make your checks out to the church, Biltmore Church of God, and designate on your tithe and envelope what you wanted to go for, just write in there, disaster relief. We will get that sent off to the international offices. Would you stand with me? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's lift up our offering, our tithe in prayer, and let's pray for all of those who've been affected by these horrible storms. Heavenly Father, we just lift up praise and thanks to you. You are a good God. You are faithful in every situation. And Lord, we just ask you to wrap your arms of grace and love around all those hurricane victims all up the East Coast, from the Bahamas all the way up. Father, we're just asking that your Holy Spirit would just move and supply every need through people like us, Lord, all across this nation and world today. Help us to rise up and to care for those who are in need. Help us to demonstrate it, not just say words of concern, but demonstrate it through our actions. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be able to help. We thank you for moving and supplying every need and every life. We cover them with your blood, Lord, and we pray your grace and mercy to just to be poured out abundantly upon them. In Jesus' holy name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Worship the Lord as you give this morning. Would you sing that chorus with me? He's so good to me. Sing, God is good. Oh, God is so good. God is so good. Oh, God is so good. So good to me. Sing, I love him so. And I love him so. I love him so. So good. You know that he answers prayer. Come on, sing it with me. And he answers prayer. And he answers prayer. And he answers prayer. My God answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to. One more time, sing, God is so good. And God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Anybody sense the presence of the Lord here? Would you just lift your hands and give him praise in the house right now? God, you're so good. You're so good. We worship you. We magnify. We praise your holy name. Holy Spirit, in these next few moments, Lord, as we come to your word, I pray that you would just arrest our hearts and minds. Block out every distraction that the enemy would try to distract us with. And Lord, just give us focus. Holy Spirit, give us focus. And we ask that you would just speak to us, that you would revive us, that you would replenish and renew and restore. Do all those wonderful things. Pray that you would cleanse us and wash us, God. Make us clean. Make us holy. Make us righteous. Oh, God, we want to be a people prepared for the Lord. Prepared for you, God. Ready for your coming. Because we know you're coming again soon, Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit just whispered this to me. Can you sing this song with me? Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving, I'll be a sanctuary for. Make it your prayer with me. Hallelujah. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving I'll be a living sanctuary for. With thanksgiving. Hallelujah. And with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Stand with me and turn in your Bibles to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, just two verses of scripture that I want to read this morning. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. David prayed this prayer. Why don't you say it out loud with me as I read it? It's on the screen. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. One more time. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Thank you for your word. Anoint us now in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I just could not get away from this theme this week. The Holy Spirit just kept stirring it within me. This idea of honesty leads to healing. Honesty leads to healing. How many of you know that you've got to get honest before you can get healed? Honesty. I want to ask you this question. Who is sitting in your seat? Now, I know that probably sounds like a lame question. Probably sounds like I've lost my mind. But let me just ask another question to follow that one up. Which you is sitting in that seat? Because there's actually three people in that seat. There's the person that you think you are. There's the person that others think you are. And then there's the person that God knows you are. And the person that God knows you are is most important. And seeing ourselves in this light is of all importance today. Seeing ourselves the way God sees us leads us to gut-level honesty with self and with others. According to the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 4 and 12, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts even to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden in his sight, for all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." David's desire for honesty and uprightness of heart led him to pray this life-altering prayer in Psalm 139. I love how Eugene Peterson phrases this passage as well. He says, "Investigate my life, O God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine and test me. Get a clear picture of what I am about. See for yourself whether I've done anything wrong. Then guide me on the road to eternal life." I don't know about you, but that is my desire. Lord, help me to stay on this road to eternal life. Because nothing else is going to matter when you come to the end of your life and you take your last breath. You need to know that everything is all right between you and the Lord. And you have a clean conscience and a pure heart. He said, "Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God." Hallelujah. These verses represent a prayer of David in which he asked God to make sure he's clean. The person who knows God and truly loves God, let me say it again, the person who knows God and truly loves God hates sin. Well, I got two or three amens. I said, if you love God and you want to go after God with all your heart, you will hate sin. It's further evidenced by what David said in Psalm 97 and 10, "You who love the Lord hate evil." If you're going to love God, then you got to hate sin. If you're going to love God, then you got to hate unrighteousness. If you're going to love God, you got to hate everything that's not like Him, that comes in between you and God and keeps you from having that pure and unadulterated fellowship with Him. David certainly hates sin in others, but most of all, he hates sin in himself. In this prayer, David is wanting to come clean with God and ask God to do four things for him that would reveal any sin and cleanse any stain in his life. If you will make it a habit in your life to ask God to do these four things, you will always know that you are clean with God. Because how many of you know this is not just a one-time cleansing? It's not just a one-time being clean. We've got to walk in this holiness and walk in this cleanness and walk in this purity on a regular basis. We should be praying this very prayer. Search me, O God. Don't let me be deceived. Don't let me fall into deception, because deception abounds in the days in which we're living in. I'm talking about the spirit of error. It abounds in the world today, the spirit of lawlessness. But we've got to reject that by being in the Word of God, like I spoke to you a few weeks ago, being in the Word of God, immersed in it. And we need to pray, search me, God, so that I don't fall into that pitfall of deception. First of all, here's what David said. He said, "Search me thoroughly. Search me, O God, and know my heart." David goes to the heart of the problem, because it's usually the problem of the heart that's the heart of the problem. I mean, it really does. I was thinking this week as I was just going through some situations and some counseling situations and thinking about situations, it always goes back to the heart. It goes back to where we are in our hearts. For out of the heart spring the issues of life. And no wonder Proverbs 4 and 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence. I mean, he's basically saying you need to give such determination to this one aspect, because out of it flows all the other issues. Everything else springs from the attitude and the condition of the heart. He said, search me. When you pray this prayer to the Lord, you're asking God to put you under a spiritual CAT scan. You're asking him to do some open heart surgery on you. I find it interesting that David asked God to search him and know him. Because if you look in verse number 1 of this same chapter, Psalm 139, he already said that God did know him. Then why did he pray for that the Lord would search him and know him? And in this verse, in 24 and 25, David is wanting to bring to light what he would normally hide from everyone else, his heart. And he's basically saying, Lord, I know you know everything about me, but I need to know every single day on a regular basis that I'm where I need to be with you. I want you to keep searching me, because I don't know everything I need to know about myself. We'll talk more about that in a few moments. We need God to bring to light what needs to be exposed and brought to the forefront. You see, according to Nelson's Bible Dictionary, the heart, by definition, simple definition, is the inner self that thinks, feels, and decides. So when we talk about the heart, the inner self which thinks, feels, and decides. Thinks, feels, and decides. I'm telling you, we need the Spirit of God to do a work in our hearts on a regular basis. How we think and how we feel and how we make decisions. Because our decisions are a reflection of our heart's condition. So why does David ask God to search his heart? Shouldn't David know his own heart already? Answer is no. And neither do you and I. Because the Bible says in Jeremiah 17 and 9, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and above all things, and who can know it? Who can know it? That implies that you and I don't have the ability to fully know our hearts. But listen to what verse 10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. You see, you need to allow God to look at you and to see in you what no one else can, including yourself. We often say it like this. We need to look in the mirror and see what's there, right? You need to take a look in the mirror. Well, just because you look in the mirror, you're not actually seeing yourself. You're seeing a reflection of your image. We say those words because it's a spiritual symbolism, if you will, of looking deep. Because really, it's your soul. It's what's hidden. That's who you really are. When you look in the mirror, yeah, you see a reflection of yourself, but that's not who you really are. It's deep down in the heart, that part which thinks and feels and decides. That is who you are. Let's just admit it. Sometimes our hearts get trashed out. Anger shows up. We let him in. Revenge needs a place to stay, and we pull up a chair. And we just have a pity party, don't we? Don't tell me that we don't need to search, ask God to search our hearts. That guy that cuts you off on the road and you've got a few choice words for him, you need God to do a work in your heart. I mean, we haven't arrived yet, church. We got to stay on this path. We got to keep growing. Got to keep seeking God. We got to, Holy Spirit, keep shining your big flashlight on my heart. I know you love me so much that you don't want sin to disrupt fellowship with you. Oh, Spirit of God, keep on showing me. Keep on shining your light. Help me to hear and help me to see what I need to see. And change what I need to change. No matter what kind of facade you put up on the outside, it's your heart that determines whether or not you're truly right with God and even truly right with yourself. You can't get healed until you get honest. I mean, really gut level honest. There's a Christian college out in the Midwest where there was once a large, lovely tree that was central part of the landscape, and it was one of those places that students would come to meet and talk. And for decades, this giant oak had brought beauty to the campus and shade to thousands of students. And one day, a high wind arose and a loud crack echoed across the campus as this leaping monument of memories crackled to the ground. And when they examined it, they noticed that disease had been growing within this massive tree to the point where all was left was the outer trunk. Inside was nothing more than an empty shell. So when that wind blew that day, the hollow tree fell like a twig. Listen, you can look like you've got it all together on the outside, but it's on the inside that's what really matters. Who are you on the inside? Because if you don't address the inside, matters of integrity and honesty and credibility, your world will come crumbling down around you, and what looked so beautiful in the eyes of everybody else, it will soon become apparent that really wasn't all that beautiful. Because I'm telling you, we've got to be beautiful on the inside first. We need to be clean on the inside first, and that will work its way on the outside, and the fruit of the Spirit will be evident in our lives to other people. Hallelujah. And secondly, he said, Lord, show me completely. Look at verse 23. Try me and know my anxieties. Show me completely. Now, David goes from the heart to the mind. David is saying to the Lord, show me any thoughts that carry me away from fellowship with you. How many of you know that this is the devil's playground right here? The mind. We got to have control over our thought life. That's where the battle begins, and that's where it is won through the Spirit of God. No wonder Romans 12 and 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because the more thoughts that you, the more you fill yourself with God's thoughts, the more all the thoughts that are not of God and all the trashy thoughts and all of the unwholesome thoughts are crowded out by the Word of God. That's what you do. You get filled with so much of God's Word that you crowd out everything else that shouldn't be there, and it has to leave your mind because you're full of what God thinks and not what the world thinks and not what your own heart thinks and not what the culture thinks and not what society thinks, but what God thinks. Right? Jesus even said the greatest commandment of all was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? Heart, soul, mind, and strength. There's nothing wrong with having a one-track mind if that track is fixed on God. Men, there are hope for us. One-track men, right? One-track mind. Did you know that the mind is more powerful than the body in determining the quality of life that you live? You can be sick in your body, but if you've got a healthy mind, you can still live a productive life. That's why that you can see someone that's bound to a wheelchair for life, and they're riding that thing around and they got a smile on their face because they haven't let their physical condition in their body determine the quality of their life. Can I just tell you this morning, it doesn't matter what your situation is, when you got your mind renewed and you're thinking the way God wants you to think and the peace of God fills your mind, you can have a quality of life. Even if your body doesn't always feel the way you want it to feel, somebody ought to help me praise Him this morning. Hallelujah. I come across this, the Caring Institute put it this way. Keep your thoughts positive because your thoughts become your words. Keep your words positive because your words become your actions. Keep your actions positive because your actions become your habits. Keep your habits positive because your habits become your values. Keep your values positive because your values become your destiny. I like that. Hallelujah. We don't need to hide our fears, our anxieties, and our worries. Stop hiding them. Stop stuffing them. Stop acting like, well, I just can't be real about this. I can't be honest about this because it will appear that I am weak. Why don't we just get to the place where we just get real honest? I mean, you're not always going to be having a good day, so why don't you just say, I'm not having a good day today. I'm actually having a bad day, but I'm trusting God. I'm putting my faith in Him. And I appreciate your prayers today. Get really honest. I mean, this could apply to so many different situations, right? I mean, If your finances are in disarray, then get honest about it and figure out where all your money's going and get on a budget and figure out how to change it. I mean, get honest. I'm spending way more than I'm bringing in. And I'm, you know, this is another aspect that I'm not giving God what belongs to Him, so no wonder my finances are in disarray. Hello, come on, help me somebody. We're not giving to God what belongs to Him. So get honest with yourself, get honest with God, and make the changes that you need to make. That's where true healing comes, when you get honest. Well, I can't afford to tithe. You can't afford not to tithe. You can't afford not to give God what belongs to Him. Come on, give Him praise. Thirdly, notice he says, Lord, see me clearly. Look at verse 24. And see if there is any wicked way in me. That literally says, if you go back to the original language, see if there's any way of pain or grief in me. So when we think about wicked, we always think, well, you know, sinful. It certainly applies to that, but he says, see if there's any way of pain or grief in me. David wants to leave no stone unturned. He wants no attitude or action to be present in his life that would cause pain to his Lord or grief to other people. How many know that when you sin and when you miss the mark and you make the choices that you make, it doesn't just affect you. The devil tries to get us over in a corner somewhere and make us think that we're all by ourselves and that if you do this or you do that or you think this or think that, it's just you. But can I just tell you here this morning, that is a lie from hell. It ain't just you that it affects. It affects other people too. It affects your spouse. It affects your children. It affects your church. It affects the community in which you live in. So, remember, sin doesn't just affect you. The choices that you make do not just affect you. They have lasting repercussions. You know, it's unusual in the day in which we live. Let's just be honest about it. Let's face the facts. For this kind of attitude that David is exemplifying here in Psalm 139, it almost seems foreign to people today to actually ask God to search them. I mean, you tell that to some people, they'll be like, are you stupid? I mean, why would you do that? There's no telling what he's going to show you. I don't want God to search me. You know, like, that's just a crazy idea. It's a crazy idea to not have God to search you. Because then you're left to your own resources and your own strength and even your own destruction. Let's face the facts. You talk about sinful ways or wicked ways today, and people just roll their eyes as if you have lost your mind and you're living in a different century. You know, the culture doesn't want to talk about wickedness. They want to call it weakness. They don't want to talk about an adulterous relationship. They would rather call it an inappropriate relationship. And actually, to take it a step further, they would just actually call it an appropriate relationship now. Because wrong is right and right is wrong. The culture doesn't want to talk about transgressions. Let's just talk about problems. But here's what I want to tell you here this morning. I think we need to call it what it is. I said, I think we need to call it what it is. Sin is still sin. Wrong is still wrong. and right is still right. A lie is still a lie. I don't care how you spin it. I don't care how much you blame you put on somebody else. I don't care how much you try to justify it. A lie is a lie. Wrong is still wrong. And truth is still truth. Is there anybody here that wants to embrace truth? Truth. I want to know him in truth. He said, I have no greater desire than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. And Jesus said, he that the Son sets free is free indeed. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give him praise. Let's call it what it is. Let's be people of honesty. Let's be people of truth. Let's keep it real. I read a story about a man who came to the door of the pastor late one night, and the pastor opened the door, and the man said, sir, come out here and talk to me about my problems. The pastor said, you come in here and let's talk about your sins. Well, that's not to insinuate that every problem is associated with sin. We know that's not the case, or sin is associated with every problem. I'm not trying to say that. But in this situation, you know, sometimes our problems are associated with sin. The reason we're having the problems that we're having is because of the sinful choices that we are making. And then we want to blame God, and we want to blame everybody else for everything that's going on in our lives. It's because of the choices that we're making. I'm here to tell you this morning, I'm here to preach the word of the Lord. The choices that you make will define you. And we need to make godly, holy, wholesome choices that reflect the glory and the holiness of God. Hallelujah. You see, we're living in a society that finally thinks it's figured out a way to eliminate right and wrong. First, you just do away with God. And when you do away with God, you do away with sin. When you do away with sin, you do away with guilt. When you do away with guilt, then you do away with responsibility. You do away with responsibility, you do away with punishment. Just get rid of God altogether. And how many of you know that tries that mentality even tries to show up, tries to weave its way into churches? Let's just get rid of the cross. Let's don't talk about the cross because it can be offensive. Let's definitely don't talk about the blood of Jesus because it's kind of gross sounding. It might offend people. It might turn off the newcomers. It might turn off the seeker-sensitive people. I mean, we're trying to win everybody to the Lord. Yes, we're trying to win everybody to the Lord, but why don't we preach the truth in the process of doing so? Let's just don't pat people on the back and tell them that the way they're living is okay, and we just tell the homosexuals, just keep living your lifestyle, and those who are having sex with one another outside of marriage, you just keep living the way you're wanting to live. It's all right. God loves you. I'm here to tell you today, and that's just two examples of many different things. I'm here today to tell you, you've got to live for Jesus Christ. You've got to embrace his word. You've got to embrace truth. There's such a thing as holiness. There's such a thing as righteousness. And if you want to make it to a wonderful place called heaven, then you're going to have to embrace all of the word of God, every bit of it, if you want to go to heaven. Lastly, he said, Lord, steer me rightly. That's what he was saying in verse 24 when he said, lead me in the way everlasting. There is a right way and a wrong way in life. There's a high road and there's a low road in life. The broad way, Jesus said, leads to destruction. You know, we don't hear this term a whole lot in church anymore, but there's a place called hell. And I don't want to go there, and I don't want you to go there. It was actually created for the devil and his angels. It was never created for you and I. It was never created for those who were made in God's image. So when people say, why would God send anybody to hell? Listen, he did all he could to keep you from going to hell by sending his only begotten son to die on the cross. And if you put your faith and trust in him, you will escape that horrible place called hell where the beast and the false prophet will be forever and forever thrown into the lake of fire. You don't have to go there. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's this wonderful place called heaven that he's prepared for those who know him. Jesus said, there's a broad way that leads to destruction. And there's a narrow way, there's a narrow path that leads to life. Anybody want to go that way? Because the broad way, there's a lot of people that's going that way. The crowd's going that way. Everybody else is doing it. Everybody else believes this way. Anybody here willing to take a stand for Jesus? Choosing the narrow path which leads to life everlasting. Proverbs 15 and 24 says, the way of life winds upward for the wise, that he may turn away from hell below. Hallelujah. I want your life and my life to wind upward toward God. For David, this was the bottom line. Pastor Tom, if you'll come. He wanted to make sure he was on the road to heaven, not hell. Road to life and not destruction. Did David have problems in his life? Absolutely. If you read the scripture, you see that there was times where he sinned. Bad. You say, well, all sin is bad. Yes, it is, but all sin is sin. Yes, I understand that, but certain sins have more effect on other people than others. David not only sleeps with another man's wife, but tries to cover it up because she's pregnant now, and has, because of his place of power, he has her, has him placed on the front lines of battle in the battlefield, and he's killed in battle. You think, wow, that's horrible. Yeah, it is. It's more than my mind can even fathom. But aren't you thankful that God forgives? And God restores, and God heals. Was there still consequences of David's sin? Absolutely. His own son Absalom hated him and wanted to take his life. There was tension and unrest in his family throughout the rest of his life, but God restored David. God gave him the grace to go on. But what I'm trying to tell you here this morning is that we have to have this attitude, this mindset on a regular basis in our lives, just to get honest and get real. God, search me. God, search me. Because evidently there was a time in David's life, are you hearing me, where he stopped doing that. He let his guard down. Bible says he was supposed to be out with the kings at battle. How many of you know that you, when you're not where you're supposed to be and doing what you're supposed to do, you're just allowing yourself to be caught up in a place of temptation, in a place of misery, in a place of destruction. You can't keep putting yourself in compromising situations and expecting the Holy Spirit to get you out. Did you hear that? We need the spirit of Joseph, which fled. Oh, glory to God. Which fled from her with all of his might. Because he did not want to compromise his integrity in standards before God. We need to run from it with all of our might. Amen? Search me, God. Search me. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in your way everlasting. The Holy Spirit is just talking to people right now. He's searching people. I sense it in my spirit. Would you please stand with me? I want us to pray in these altars this morning. I want to invite every single person that will. Every one of you, because we all need the Lord to search us. Would you come and meet me in this altar this morning and just stay here and ask the Holy Spirit to do His work. Do His work in your heart. Oh, it's not about what God's going to, listen, yes, God's going to move in others, but what about you? Holy Spirit, move in me. Move in my heart, move in my life. Hallelujah. Meet me in this altar if you will. Every single one of you. Let's come for a time of prayer. Let's come to seek His face. Search me, oh God. Hallelujah. Honesty. Get